Country Life on Midlands 103. Brought to you by W. Orshaw Burlington Business Park Tullamore, your main supplier of New Holland's tractors in the Midlands. WORshaw.ie.
Now, good evening and welcome to Country Life here on Midlands 103. It's MJ Cleary with you for the next hour, bringing you the latest from the Midlands and further afield from the worlds of farming, food and agribusiness. Now, thank you all for joining me this evening. And what would we say about the weather over the course of the last week? I suppose it was neither one thing nor the other, really. It looks to be a bit more of the same over the coming days. Dry weather, but changeable. However, early days of next week showing a bit of proper summer heat with temperatures in the 20s. And I know younger stock would love some sun in their backs at the moment, and it would do us no harm either for a blast of proper summer weather for a few days. On to this evening's programme, and a busy lineup as always here on the show over the course of the next hour. And on Saturday evening next in Scully's Pub in Ballyroan, author Thomas Carle will be launching his book entitled Life in Laois, 1700 to 2000. So a 300 year history of life in Laois, where he looks at events which occurred in agriculture and beyond, including the end of landlordism and of course the Great Famine, and how it took 25% of the population of Laois at that time. A very interesting man, and I'm really looking forward to speaking to him a little later in the hour here. Now, a big push on organic farming at the moment, as we know, and Teagasc are behind a number of farm walks over the last couple of months. There's another of these walks in Birr next Wednesday, so it's this day week, and it's on the farm of Declan Houlihan. Declan is a cereal and poultry producer. He's selling eggs direct at the Sullis Market in Port Arlington and is maximising every possible revenue stream from his holding. We'll chat to Declan later and hear all about his organic farming journey. Now, shows are back this summer, and this weekend sees the Mullingar Show back in action with classes to suit all interests. Paddy Donnelly will join me to fill you in on exactly what's happening. The interesting thing about the Mullingar Show is that they actually own their own showgrounds, just over 50 acres, and that parcel of land is generating income for the committee throughout the year, which shows some real entrepreneurial nous, which is badly needed in these times of high prices. I know insurance is a big one for shows at the moment, and that's something we'll be asking Paddy about a little bit later. As always, please text the show with your comments, thoughts or questions to 083 30 10 103. And to start this evening's programme, beef takes the spotlight, and I have Adam Woods from the Irish Farmers Journal. Adam, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
Good evening, MJ.
So, Adam, you're leading tomorrow in the paper with the headline of Heavy Bull Weanlings Hit €1,400 as Beef Price Steadies. So, I suppose the talk has been over the last couple of weeks of a drop in beef prices. Are they levelling off?
Yeah, I guess we've seen that slide. It was a stop this week, basically, MJ would say. We've seen sort of mid-June, we topped out at probably 540. We're back down to quotes probably 490.95 for bullocks this week, and probably €5, 505 for heifers. And we're seeing that steadying basically over the last 3 or 4 days. That had dropped to that, we'll say, over the last 3 weeks. So hopefully we'll see things steady now. We're seeing the first of the weanland sales in the south of the country, a big sale in Carrigrohane on Tuesday, over 500 weanlands through the ring, and a real solid trade there. And it's particularly heavy weanlands. And I guess we've seen that over the last couple of months, that finishers and feedlot finishers have been more, we'll say, adaptable to purchasing those heavy cattle as opposed to light cattle. Light cattle are long-keep cattle. We're probably seeing a big shift there on the marts, and a big divide between very light cattle. You know, those poorer, maybe Frisians, Herefords, Angus is probably right around €2, €2.20 a kilo, whereas your good continental store, your heavy continental store, with a short-keep animal, is probably up at €2.50 to €2.70 an animal. But we've seen those heavy weanlings, 450 kilos in Carrigrohane, up at €3.14 a kilo, which is a real solid trade. And that's up 40, 50 cent on where we are this week last year, if we look at Marpid's analysis. So that's up on close to €200 on last year. But obviously you caveat all that with the extra costs. We've got fertiliser trebling, we've meal doubling, we've diesel, we've contractor. All that's coming down the line.
The drop in the last few weeks, Adam, we had a really, really strong beef trade up to about a month ago, and projections were that demand was going to be very high as the year progressed. What was behind this drop over the last few weeks? Why did demand fall off over the course of the last month? You would be imagining the summertime, there was burgers being eaten, lots of barbecues, X, Y and Z going on. Was there any reasoning for this?
Yeah, I guess we've seen in June, it was a four-day bank holiday in the UK, which really drove on demand for beef, I would say, in Ireland to go across to the UK for those sales. we're seeing a little bit of that cost of living squeeze coming on in Europe and the UK in terms of people, maybe in terms of inflation, you know, cost of living is going up and up and up. And maybe those high price cuts in terms of, you know, steaks and strip loin, they aren't moving as well as they were in the retail scenario. Manufacturing beef is doing very well, mince cuts is doing well, burgers are doing well, but those high price retail cuts a little bit softer in demand over the last maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and that has probably just knocked back to where we were. If you look at where we were in relation to European beef price and UK beef price, we're probably tracking a little bit ahead of those two with the exporting markets that we're going into. So a little bit of a correction had to come there. If we look then, project onwards towards the end of the year, Orbia had estimated that we'd be up 80,000 cattle for 2022. They've revised that estimate this week up to 110,000. I'm still not worried about that in terms of where we're going as regards demand and supply, in terms of 30,000 more cattle between now and the end of the year. Supplies are going to be tight. We're seeing beef production down in Europe. We're seeing beef production down in the UK, and we'll be able to fill that market for the next 6 months. So I don't think beef is going to go any much lower than that. I think it'll steady out around that €4.95 a kilo. And I don't think I'll be worried about the autumn time.
Numbers in March at the moment, Adam, look, we're coming into a traditional quieter time in farming, July and August. I know last year what occurred was maybe guys who had bought cattle in the springtime went on and they flicked them on again maybe midsummer, and then they went on to be finished, which was something probably that didn't occur as much on other years. What are we feeling like at the moment with numbers in March? Are they slackening off?
So speaking to a few market managers this week, MJ, we're seeing actually autumn calving with the herds moving a little bit quicker this year. And I think that's as a function of, you know, creep is quite expensive. You know, you're talking maybe €480-500 a tonne for creep feed in creep feeders. I don't think farmers are going to fill creep feeders this autumn. And I think they're going to start to move those weanlings a little bit earlier. That's where we've seen that very big sale in Kerry this week. And even talking to Martin McNamara and Clare, they're seeing big sales in Ennis. He's seeing October, November calves coming out there already, and that would be unheard of in other years. You'd surely be into August or September when those calves would start to come out. So I think people are seeing the cost associated with them. They're seeing the high price there at the moment. You know, weanlings up at $3.20 a kilo, and they're going to take that winning and we'll say cash in those weanlings at the moment in terms of those strong weanlings coming out a little bit earlier. As regards other stock, you know, March in the Midlands tend to be quiet at this time of the year anyway. There's a tradition down south of those autumn calving herds coming out with weanlings. So I'd say you'll see another, I suppose, 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, and you'll see numbers starting to ramp up again coming into autumn.
And Adam, in relation to Tullamore Farm, we always ask you when we have you on, what are things happening at the moment out there?
Yeah, Sean Divo was doing rain dances out there for the last 2 weeks, MJ. Unheard of a Donegal man doing rain dances, but it worked. And we got rain last weekend, really, really welcome, because growth had actually dipped below demand and we were starting to just panic. Well, we weren't panicking, but we needed that rain last weekend. So hopefully that has kicked on growth. Growth is back up ahead of demand. And look, we're preparing for our open day. We have a big open day, national open day out there on the 26th of July, and preparations are in full swing for that. We've only 9 bulls left to kill. A lot of our under 16-month bulls gone. Interestingly enough, we were just looking at the figures the other day for the open day. We averaged 13.50 for our bulls in 2020. We averaged 16.60 for our bulls in 2021. And we're up at 21.20 so far in 2022. So look, that's a real positive. But again, meal has doubled in price. And look at all other costs.
What age are you killing those at, Adam?
They're around 15 months, sort of 15 and a half. We have to be away under 16 months. So some of them are away at 14 months. He's just pulling the pin. We're weighing regularly out there. Any bulls that's not doing in terms of putting 10, 12 kilos of meal into them a day, if they're not doing, they're just going, they're heading off.
And what's the total concentrate to finish at that 15 months?
We're sort of around sort of 1.5, 1.6 tonne. We're actually after planting a field of red clover silage, and the aim is to put that red clover silage into our bulls in the future to try and, we'll say, reduce the amount of concentrates going into those bulls, because that's a big negative of that bull system. But really, we can't see another system to touch that bull system until more in terms of profitability at the moment.
What's the live weight, Adam, at those 21-20s? What are you talking, kilos?
Yeah, so we're averaging 385 kilo carcass off a 57.5% kilo, so we're sort of up around 685, 690 kilos at that sort of 15-month stage.
Wow, that's some conversion, yeah, isn't it?
Absolutely. Look, and that's why I said if we went to steers on that farm, we'd have to reduce cow numbers. Just bulls really suits us out there. And look, we'll be talking a lot about that out there on the 26th of July in terms of giving farmers a breakdown of the system.
Realistically, though, Adam, that's where we need to be. You know, I know you're doing it like it's the top of the tree what you're at with breeding, and you're pulling all the best cattle, and you've, you know, genetics behind you. But it's where suckler farmers have to be. Like, if suckler farmers can be at that, or even within 10 or 15% of that, like at 21-20, even taking meal at €400 a tonne, say a tonne and a half gone into them, like, you're still clearing 1,500 without a meal cost. Like, it's big money.
Absolutely. I can't understand the industry in terms of not looking. Like, the industry has said they don't want bulls, supermarkets don't want bulls, but yet I was in Grange on Tuesday at the open day, and yet when bulls are put up in front of you on a board, they're the lowest in terms of greenhouse gas emissions and the most profitable animal to feed. And really, it's very, very frustrating from a beef farmer's point of view that the industry isn't embracing those bulls and trying to look at ways that we can sell bulls into supermarkets in terms of, you know, promoting the meat eating quality. You know, the research has been done in Grange and it shows that there isn't a huge difference in meat eating quality. So very frustrating when you see beef farmers with that available to them in terms of having genetics and having feeding and having nutrition right and being able to, you know, kill a 15-month animal into 2100. We can't ignore that. And look, that's why we're not ignoring it anymore.
Yeah, no, 100%. So your open day is 26th of July. That's Tuesday. So basically, yeah, yesterday, 3 weeks. Cool. Well, look, we'll chat to you in advance of that, Adam. And thanks for joining me this evening, okay?
Super. Thanks, MJ.
Adam Woods there from the Farmers Journal. And look, fingers crossed, that is the beef price levelling out there now. We obviously didn't want those drops the last few weeks, no question about that, given price of fertiliser, price of meal. Still in around that kind of €5 territory. And Martrade seems to be those heavier weanlings seem to be good at €1,400. I wouldn't like to be paying €1,400 for them from a finishing perspective. That's for sure. But seems to have levelled off is what we would say. And in relation to the Tullamore farm, that open day is in just about 3 weeks' time. But that's an impressive figure. A 15-month-old bull to be just shy of 700 kilos live weight with a ton and a half of meal in him. You're not going to beat a system like that. No way. But as I said there, the breeding would be absolutely top of the tree. I know the Journal are getting the best heifers and they're using the best bulls and everything is as good as it can be. But it shows you when you have the breeding right what you can do. An ounce of breeding is worth a ton of feeding, as they say. Now, coming up after the break, we are speaking to Declan Houlihan. Declan is from just outside Burren, County Offaly, and he has an organic holding with cereals and poultry. He has an open day this day week, so we're going to hear all about that in a moment. And you're very welcome back to Country Life here on Midlands 103. Now, we're moving on to organics for the next few minutes, and we have Declan Houlihan on the line. Declan, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
No problem at all, MJ.
So Declan, a walk on your organic farm. It's this day week, the 13th of July. You're just outside Burr. Can you give me a background a little bit, please, on yourself and your enterprise? When did you convert to organics?
We converted in 2006 and went full symbol then in 2008.
And previous to that then, Declan, what was your farming enterprise?
We were doing milking cows at home and I suppose supplying Arabon. And then once I went organic, I started supplying Glenisk.
And you're not an organic dairy farmer anymore. So what turned you off the milk supply side of things?
We'd done it for 10 years and it was a combination of, it was 365 because the price is winter based. So you got your premium for winter. But then there was just too much of a change once you went back to summer price. There was too much of a difference. And as you know yourself in organics, an organic winter, when does it end? It doesn't end on the 31st of March, that's for sure. It could end in the middle of May. So you could still be feeding strong up to the middle of May. And it's just, sometimes the numbers weren't adding up, I suppose. And also, I needed a change for myself, like, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and very obviously labour intensive, and you can't if you're not fully into it, you'd want to move on to something else, and that's what you did. You moved on to something else. Now, where did it take you then? What way did your enterprise go?
Yeah, as part of a reseed one year, I put in 13 acres of oats and sold them to flatlands, and I was very happy with the price I got for the input I had to put in at the time, you know. So I gradually started reducing cow numbers and increasing the cereal side of things, and that's kind of where we are today. Doing about 30 tons into flavins, and then the rest of it would be combi crops that we grow for other farmers, other organic farmers.
And the combi crops then, what exactly are you sowing for people?
Pea and barley, oat and barley, oat and pea, rye and pea, and we also this year, just for the first time, are trialling a bit of beans and triticale.
And how are you finding that side of things? Are the numbers are obviously stacking up if you're sticking at it?
Yeah, it is, and it also it gives me a lot of free time, so I can pursue other things, like, you know. And like one of the things we got into there recently, because we had a bit of grain left over, was we got into hens 12 months ago. And well, we got into them December 12 months, but we went to the market, I suppose, in May with eggs. And that was, say, May last year, and we've been doing eggs then, you know, constant since that, like, you know.
Yeah, so tell me about the poultry side of things then, Declan. What are we talking? How many hens are you have you at the moment on the holding?
Yeah, there's 140 hens there at the moment. We originally started out, when we got in, we went in with day-old chicks, because I just wanted, I have two girls at home, and I just wanted them to see them, you know, as they grow up along, and you know, how they, you know, the way they work out, like, you know. And so once they started laying, then we went to market. And I suppose we just keep the numbers topped up. We sell out our eggs every week. And I suppose there's an opportunity there at the moment, because we're feeding a lot of our own grain to them, with the price, with the high price of pellets. There's a good chance, you know, we have a chance there to even increase our hens, like, or maybe look at going to broilers.
And the markets then that you're going to, so you chose the route of selling at markets as opposed to farm gate. Did you just feel there wasn't enough scale available at farm gate, or you wanted to just get to more people at the market?
Yeah, where we are is fairly isolated, I suppose. We're in the very northern tip of North Tipperary, so there's no, you need to be on a busy road, or you need to be at near a kind of a town, I think, to have to make something like that work. And also, say you're anywhere 110, 115 eggs a day, it's works out into a lot of boxes. So you want to be, you know, for people to be, you know, I think it, maybe if you had something else that might work, and definitely if your location was good, that would work. But we find that we just go to markets and we're happy with that. Like, and we like to direct sell. It's, you're getting constant feedback from your customers, and you build up a good relationship with them, and they appreciate your eggs, and, you know, it means a lot, like, you know.
Yeah, no, exactly. When you're seeing people week in, week out, and they're telling you what you're doing is working for them, that's kind of what it's all about. Where do you sell the eggs, actually? What markets?
So we do Portumna Thursday with the when the fishman is there, and we do Ballinasloe on Friday again with just the fishman. Because, as you know yourself, with tradition here, Thursdays and Fridays, a lot of fish bought. Then Saturday we do the Eco Solar Centre, or the Garden Centre there in Port Arlington. And then on Sunday, there's a local guy here who does veg, and he goes to Killaloo. So he brings eggs to us to Killaloo Market.
Wow, you're in a lot of different spots, aren't you? And in the Solus Market in Port Arlington here, where our listeners will be familiar with it, you're adding value to your product as well. You have another item which people can purchase off you.
Yeah, we do omelettes on the day. So it's not every market will let you to do food like that, because if there's already someone set up. But some of us have a kind of an open door policy down there. It's great. And so we do omelettes there. And, like, you know, you're standing there selling your eggs. And as I said, we also do potatoes for the winter. We do potatoes from December to May. We limit it to that time, and we dig them fresh every week. So we bring them, we just dig out what we need for each week, and we're bringing them, and people like fresh potatoes. So we have that, and then we have the omelettes going as well. So, you know, it's a nice combination.
Yeah, no, it's the one thing I do notice about people who go down the route of direct selling, you really just have to have a business person's hat on, and you have to just look at any potential opportunity that's there to increase your margin. Were you always business-minded, Declan, or have you found it something that's maybe grown a little bit since you started the organic farming?
Yeah, well, I have to say that organic farming is—it's not like I suppose the competitiveness that's in there in probably the dairy industry or in other sectors at the moment. Whereas organic, there's a good bunch of guys in it, and everyone—they kind of appreciate that every farm is different, and everyone's results will be different. So, yeah, it's just suits me. It fits me well. I have a genuine interest in it, and you know, it's just, and as I said, one thing leads to another. The why we started doing the omelets was because we had young hens, and they tend to have odd-shaped eggs, you know, when they start out, or small eggs, stuff like that. So it was a way of increasing the value of those eggs. And, like, now those sort of eggs are more valuable than our grade A eggs.
Mm.
So the funny way it works out. Like, but that's, if you can add value to something, it's great. Like, you know.
And as you said, what's cracking on then from the hens is you're thinking of going into chicken production, and people be able to buy chickens off you. You're also looking at the possibility of pigs in the future.
Yeah, we've already got pigs on the farm now, and they we had 3 gilts there, so they have 14 piglets running there with them at the moment, and we've another gilt there on the point of having pigs. So, yeah, again, it's we killed 2 boars there last week, so we'll see how they go. We'll probably trial them with family and friends, because it was Tamworth pigs we got into, and they're a very slow pig to mature. So that kind of suits the organic system, though. It's much the same when you go into the broilers. I think it's 43 or 44 days people turn around. Conventional broilers are from day-old chicks, they're slaughtered at 44, whereas in organics, the minimum age you can slaughter them at is 83. So you're getting up into a fine big bird that's had a chance to grow and to put on decent weight, like, you know.
And for a bird that takes 83 days, it's decent weight, but you want to be getting decent money for it as well. Your customers, are they willing to pay? Is the average, not the average customer, look, people who are going to those markets are going to probably be a little bit different anyway in relation to food. But how are you finding when you're charging for these and charging enough to make a living?
Yeah, but like the research I've done there at the moment is a good heavy, a 2.7 or 2.8 kilo free-range bird is selling at 18.99 up to 20 euro. So if people see the value in that, like I'm selling them an organic bird, because and at the end of the day, free range is just a bird that has access to outside. It's not inside all the time. It has access to outside, whereas an organic bird is out grazing, and that's the thing, is that that's our focus, is that we'd have them grazing as well as feeding them cereal. So I suppose we're looking for a slightly different taste, a good bird, and we'd be hoping to bring them to market around that 20 euro.
Mm. And you'd want every penny of it, Declan, as well. You'd be well entitled to it after that length of time.
You would, but what we find with markets is that, you know, people are buying, people that come to markets to buy their veg and buy their eggs, buy cheese, whatever, they know what they're buying and they know how to get value out of the food to buy. If you're buying a bird that's 2.7 or 2.8 kilos, well, you're getting a lot of meat, you're getting a soup, you're getting stock. These people, if you're spending 20 euro on a bird, well, then it's up to you to know how to get the most value out of that bird and try and get at least 3-4 different types of meals out of the bird. And, you know, that's quite possible with a big bird. If you go in and you buy a 1.4 kilo bird, well, then obviously that's a, there isn't as much, you know.
Yeah, no, 100%. No, yeah, I think you know your market. There's no question about it. In relation to your farm walk next week, Declan, what time is it starting at?
It's 2 p.m.
2 p.m. Okay, very good. And all are welcome. And I have to say, Declan, I'd say you'll get a big turnout there. You have a lot going on, and you certainly know the organic market. So if people are interested, it's the place to be next week. I'm going to say, Declan, many thanks for joining me this evening, and we wish you well in all your endeavours going forward.
Thanks very much, MJ.
Declan Houlihan there, and it's Corrigeen Organic Farm. It's just outside Burr in Ratcabin, North Tipperary, and that's next Wednesday at 2 p.m. and all the details for that are available on the Chagas website. If you just type in Organic Farm Walk Chagas, they will all pop up for you. And coming up after the break, we are moving on to shows. Season is back after lockdown over the last couple of years, and Paddy Donnelly from Mullingar Show will be joining us in just a moment, so stay tuned for that. And you're very welcome back to Country Life here on Midlands 103. Now we're moving on to the Mullingar Show, which is taking place this weekend. And PRO Paddy Donnelly joins me on the line. Paddy, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
Good evening, Ninja. How are you?
I'm good, Paddy. And you're finally back on the ground in Mullingar after a hiatus. All the shows were off over COVID, of course. And we'll talk about the show in a moment. But the one thing that struck me with yourselves is, we're speaking earlier on, and you're in a very good position in that you own your own showgrounds, and generating income from that throughout the year is something you also do, which helps with all the big costs that are involved in this show. Speaking about that for a second, Paddy, when did you take the step and actually purchase the ground where the show is on?
Well, we had our last show in 1976 on the old race course. And Tarkat, you may recall that they bought the race course at that stage. So there was a big estate being divided here just on the outskirts of Mullingar, the Colleen estate, Gargan estate. And we were fortunate. Some of the committee approached someone in government or that, and with regards to land commission, of purchasing it. And we in 1977 then we got the offer from the Irish Land Commission of 55 acres about, and about 60 horse boxes, and we set about that was in 76 we had our first show there, we got, and then in 77 we got the offer of buying it. So we set about then in selling shares, and we paid for the part of it in 1977, and then we were able to buy it out then in 1993. So in the region of maybe 70,000-80,000 at that, 75,000-80,000.
Yeah, it showed great business nous, Paddy, to go and have the foresight to do that back in the late 70s. You know, you're in a privileged position now.
It did, and we had a few business people on board at that stage or that, and of course they jumped at the decision then when we got the offer, and it's something we never regretted. And of course a number of people wanted to sell sites and that, and get the money back, but we prevailed on them to not to sell sites and still hold on to it, or that hold on to our old ground. And we're very lucky because it's surrounded by a road. You know, there's a road right round the perimeter, and then we have a number of roads going through the grounds as well, to go from one main road, the Mullingar Castle Pollard Road, and then we have another small link road from the close to the N4 and on to the Castle Pollard Road.
Yeah, no, fantastic, so, a fantastic asset to have. There's no question about it. And other than the day of the show, it's generating income for you then for the rest of the year. You have different parts of it leased out.
Yeah, well, we spent quite an amount of money there on it there a number of years ago by putting in a sand arena with the help of Westmead Community Development, and we done up all the horse boxes with the view of being able to lease it out. And that's what we've done. We leased out the sand arena and the horse yard. And then after that, we had another section, and we leased that out for a driving range. We have income coming in from both of them.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic stuff, because the one thing is with the shows, Paddy, and I'm speaking to different people on who are organising them, fundraising is hard, and raising money this year with inflation is hard, insurance costs are high, there's a lot of costs involved in all of it now, and to be able to have your own coffers to be able to dip into is really, it's the difference between being able to put it on and not put it on, possibly.
Yes, and of course then the last 2 years, possibly some show grounds would have changed. Maybe land has been leased that they had run their show on for a number of years, and it may not be any longer there, that they have to go looking for ground somewhere else. And then, of course, insurance costs, they're gone sky high altogether, you know.
Yeah, and I'm looking, Paddy, talking about the show itself. So you're on this weekend, and I'm looking at the big, big, big lineup. There is some amount on in Mullingar show this weekend. Even to name a few of the different classes, you have horse showing classes, cob and ridden, hunter, Irish draft, donkey classes, cattle classes, a whole range of dogs. You have a massive dog part of it.
Yep.
Gain Food All-Ireland Championship qualifier is on. Gain Food All-Ireland Championship, another qualifier. You have a finalist from other shows that are coming to you. Irish Wolfhounds, Kerry Beagles, Kerry Blues. Massive amount of organisation in all this, Paddy. And people coming from all over the country.
Yes, well, of course, the key thing is, if the kids are happy, the parents are happy, and they will come back again. So you have to take in not just the cattle section or the sheep section, you have to take in the family. And it's a family day out, and they have a lovely area here, a nice parkland with trees and everything, that they can have a picnic, and the kids can go to the dog show, bring the dogs and that. And then we have the entertainment there of Declan Ernie from 3 until 5. And then Ray Dolan then in the bar in the evening time, or that, from 5 o'clock on. And also we have the young stock person there under 16, and that's drawn quite a lot up until 2019 when we had our last show. We had a great entry in that section. And also this year we have the Belclare Sheep Belclare Championship, All Ireland Championship, which is, I believe there's quite a number. There's, I think there's around 40 entries in that alone in the sheep section. So in the Belclare. So I don't know what the numbers is in. They're fairly high in the rest of the section as well.
And tell me, Paddy, people attending then on the weekend, what time should people start? When do the gates open?
Well, the gates are open at 10 o'clock or that, but the judging will be starting around that time. The Ridden Hunter is about 10 o'clock. And from 10 on, the judging will be starting at that, you know. And in-hand classes then in the horse section from 1:30 or that.
You're probably glued to the weather forecast at the moment, Paddy. What is the weather giving for the weekend?
The weather is giving for the weekend is fairly good, around 21 degrees. But you're, even on the farming side, I've been watching my own phone and seeing where the weather is. But it seems to, it's not just getting it right yet. There's an old haze coming down here at the moment. But they're saying next week is to be very good, that it's in the up to the 21, 23 degrees. So we'd be satisfied with that.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed. But look, you're going to, whether right, wrong or indifferent, you're going to get a big turnout. There's no question about it. The shows have kicked off again and there's great interest in them. It's great to see it. And a local one at that. And hopefully, when Declan Nerney is finished now, Ray Dolan in the bar, hopefully at 5 p.m. on, you'll be able to have a refreshment, Paddy, after all the hard work yourself and the committee have done over the last period of time.
Well, MJ, you don't mind doing hard work once you see a good result for it. Doesn't matter how hard you work, you know.
I can't disagree with that, Paddy. We're going to say many thanks to yourself for joining me this evening.
Just before you go, I'll have to thank all our sponsors that still stood by us in, after 2 years or that. Because without sponsors, MJ, you have no show.
100%, Paddy. Many thanks, and we wish you the best of the weekend.
Talk to you. Bye bye.
Paddy Donnelly there from Mullingar Show, and a massive lineup there, I have to say, just looking down through it, all the different classes. And I know the little children are especially interested in dogs, and you have a massive amount of classes there for dogs. Just looking at the pictures here on Facebook from a couple of years back, and fine animals. I see all different classes, beagles and black labradors here, and really, really lots of entertainment there for young and old alike. So that's Mullingar Show this weekend. And now, coming up after the break, we're going to be looking at Laois, County Laois, from 1700 to 2000. A 300-year history of Laois, written by Thomas Carroll. So, very interesting man who really knows his stuff, I have to say. So stay tuned, we're going to chat about that in just a moment. And you're very welcome back to Country Life here on Midlands 103. Now, we're moving on to County Laois for the last few minutes of the programme, and I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Tom Carroll. Tom, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
You're welcome indeed, MJ.
And I have to say, a fine piece of work, Tom. 300 years condensed into one manuscript, all about County Laois, and from the perspective of the O'Dea family. Can I ask at the outset, Tom, what inspired you to write this book, please?
Well, the Dees came to Laois in the 1700s, and I, as a young fellow, spent some of my summer holidays on the O'Dea farm in Laois, which is near Abbey Leagues, and during the late 1940s and the early 1950s. And I suppose that sowed the seeds of my interest in local history and in farming history indeed as well, because when I was there as a young fellow, this was a typical mixed enterprise farm with tillage, cows, cattle, sheep and pigs. And obviously with horse-drawn machinery and so on. Then around 1948, the family bought a tractor, and that heralded, I suppose, the advent of modernisation, and it in turn then sidelined workhorses, obviated the need for growing oats, and I suppose in the longer haul led to the demise of forges and that sort of thing. So as I went on through life, and when we see all the changes that are going on in life all around us, I felt it was important that there would be a record, if you like, of what life was like in bygone times and in an era that is now no more. Yeah. That essentially is why I wanted to write the book.
Yeah, and fantastic, Tom, to be able to chart it and chronicle it over that period of time. If we look at the book now itself, so it's 1700 to 2000. So look, we're talking a huge length of time here in the past. And you've broken the book down into two parts, if you will, a kind of a historical piece, and then the second part, more about the family. If we look at the first part and the history, if you will, between 1700 and 2000, a couple of monumental occurrences in that period.
Yes, I think that I suppose two of the dominant influences in that period would be, first of all, landlordism, and that was a dominant issue until the late 1800s, when, if you like, the power balance as between the landlord and the tenant farmer began to shift. Power began to shift away from the landlord to the tenant farmer. And that, if you like, culminated with the Windham Act of 1903. And thereafter then, farmers, well, predominantly farmers, owned their land as distinct from being tenants. I would say the second big issue during that period was the Great Famine of 1845-52. And what I've done here is that rather than just looking at the national picture, which is very well known, I mean, it's well known that 1 million people died in the famine as a result of hunger and famine-related diseases, and another 2.5 million emigrated. But what I've done in the book is I've actually drilled down into the local area and given 20 local examples of how the population shifted in a 20-year period between 1841 and 1861. The situation overall was that there was a 27% population loss, but that masked some extremes. Like, for instance, in the townland of Knockardagore, which is not too far from Ballinacale, there was 86% population loss. Now, I investigated why there should be such an extreme loss. And it's interesting there that the landlord engaged in extensive clearance of his tenants. So that accounted for that sort of extreme situation. It's interesting that in an adjoining rural townland of Keela, the population actually increased. And again, local people did some investigation on this for me. And it seems that the people who were in fact evicted from Knockardagore, they were accommodated in the adjoining townland of Keela. So these are the sort of interesting things that you find when you drill down into the details.
Hugely interesting, Tom, because when I think of the famine, or when people think of the famine in general, we think of North Mayo, we think of coastal counties, Kerry and Cork and whatnot. We don't really think about the Midlands, but when you hear 27% population loss, it was very, very real in this part of the world as well.
Absolutely. I mean, if you take, say, not just another example, Cullinan Mountain, which is very prominent on the Leash landscape. Now, it became very densely populated leading up to the famine, because what had happened was, as the population increased, people were driven up the mountain sides, if you like, onto poorer and poorer land. So even though the land up on Cullinan Mountain was poor, it was in fact densely populated. But what happened during the famine was that it lost 6 people out of every 10 between 1841 and 1861. You could say, in effect, that the mountain died.
Mm. Yeah, huge, huge numbers. And Tom, in relation then to your second part of the book, where you looked at the O'Dea family in particular, obviously over the course of a 300-year period, there's a lot of people to look at and a lot of different elements to a family tree. Did you hone in on specific people, or how did you approach it?
I did. I think one of the very prominent people that came out of that sort of research was, he would have been my great-grandfather, Edward Day, who lived from 1823 to 1911. And he, in fact, was a steward for a local landlord called Edward White. Now, White actually was murdered in 1851 in a dispute over access to a bog near Ballyroan. And White's property then passed on to his nephew, a man called Samuel Foster. and Samuel Foster kept on my great-grandfather as his steward. Now, one of the principal jobs that my great-grandfather had was to travel to fairs around the country, mostly down to Cork, Kerry, and so on, buying cattle on behalf of Samuel Foster, who in fact was in the business of fattening cattle. Now, at some stage during that, Edward Day began to trade in cattle on his own account and accumulated capital, which enabled him to become a farmer in his own right. And ultimately, he was involved in either managing or assembling six farms, which totaled 440 acres. So he really is in many ways pivotal to the modern history of the O'D family. Another interesting thing that he did was that he kept a farming ledger, which fortunately still exists, and it runs from the years 1866 to 1889. And that gives an extremely valuable insight into the daily details of farming at that particular time. And I've reproduced a lot of that detail in the book. I mean, just to give, if you like, a few quick mundane examples.
Yes, go ahead, Tom.
In 1867, for instance, he bought a steel-tooth tumbling rake. Then he bought a mowing machine in 1874. In 1867, he sold 2.7 tons of wheat to, quote-unquote, Mr. Odlum. Now, that is, of course, the modern, the predecessor of the modern Odlums.
Did it say, did he mark what he got for the wheat, Tom, 2.7 tons? Did he say what price he got?
I can't remember the price just offhand.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
I don't know what it would be in modern-day values. But he sold wheat practically every year to various merchants and so on. He sold barley at another stage to Pimm's. I think they were involved, I think, in the distilling business over in Mount Rath, if I remember correctly.
He was a real entrepreneur, Edward Day. To go from zero to 440 acres shows that if you had the ability and the nous, even back in those days, it was well capable of being done. Tom, I could stay talking to you about the book, literally, I'd say, for about another hour. However, I'm running out of time and I don't want to leave out the fact of the launch. Can you tell us about the launch of this book, please? When is it occurring?
The book will be launched this Saturday night, the 9th of July, in Scully's Pub in Ballyroan at 7:30 p.m.
And I'm sure if people attend on Saturday evening, there's going to be copies of the book there available to purchase, and also you'll be able to sign a copy and chat to people about whatever areas they want to talk about.
I will indeed, and it will be accompanied by good entertainment.
Fantastic. Well, what I'll say, Tom, is an excellent piece of work, no question about it, and great to have these things documented. We wish you all the best with it, and I'm going to say thank you for joining me on the programme this evening.
Thank you, MJ.
And that is the Life in Laois, 1700 to 2000, microcosm. And the launch is, as we said, this Saturday evening in Scully's Pub in Ballyroan. And the author there is actually a tipman originally, and with a lot of relations and family tree in Laois, Thomas Carroll. Really fascinating piece of work there, especially the work on the famine. Really thought that was a hugely interesting piece of history. Now, that is it for this evening's programme. I'd like to thank you all for joining me over the course of the last hour. I'd like to thank all my guests, including Thomas Carroll there, also Paddy Donnelly from Mullingar Show, which takes place this weekend, Declan Houlihan from Corrigeen Organic Farm in Burr. That walk is this day week, Wednesday 2 p.m. and Adam Woods from the Farmers Journal, who told us at the start of the hour that beef prices are levelling off, so we need that news definitively. The show is repeated on Sunday morning at 7 a.m. and I will be back to talk to you this night next week, as always, and I'll say have a nice week and good night and God bless.